This is Will Friedle from Pod Meets World. Let's be honest. The 90s gave us some great things. The music? Totally rad. The fashion? So fly. Home decor? That's a different story. In HGTV's new competitive series, Totally 90s House, two teams of iconic TV stars take on two homes frozen in time. Paired with HGTV experts, they'll turn dated spaces into fresh modern homes and compete for the ultimate bragging rights. Goodbye, honey oak cabinets. Hello, 21st century. Totally 90s House. Special series premiere starts August 26th at 9, 8 central on HGTV.
He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo. 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
Wile E. Coyote. I mean, Manhattan is being overrun by coyotes. Who would have figured? We have a lot of very important things to talk about today. Will we be going to war with Iran, not over nukes, but over Yemen? Got a couple of fleets that are nose-to-nose there in the Red Sea. I'll talk about that. And, of course, the death of yet another unarmed black man in police custody in Baltimore. This last case, but it is causing no end to disruption and people really totally unsettled by the fact that so many young unarmed black men, the latest fellow in Baltimore, 25 years old, gets arrested in perfect shape when he goes into police custody. Half hour later, when he's put in an ambulance, the guy's got a severed spine and a fractured larynx. We'll get to Baltimore, but I got to talk about these coyotes. I mean, I've lived in Manhattan basically, or in and around New York City, my whole life. And now you have coyotes in a park in Riverside Park, right? By Columbia.
That's right.
Then you got another last week on that bar in Long Island City on the roof.
That's right. Well, we weren't sure about that one, but yeah, we'll go with that one. Throw that in there.
All right. Playground in Chelsea.
That's right. Last week.
The big Con Ed plant down in East 14th Street there. The big plant on the East Village there. Got one there. You had earlier in Bergen County, you had that guy walking his dog getting bitten. He had to have rabies shots.
Norwood, yeah.
So what the hell is going on? Is this an epidemic? And more importantly, what do we do about it? And ladies and gentlemen, you can tell me what you think we should do about it, 866-GERALDO. Now, you have all kinds of methods. What are they recommending, Noam?
This morning, this coyote that was spotted about 5:15 this morning, Riverside Park near 87th Street, somebody walking their dog saw the coyote, called the cops. The cops come rushing in with this NYPD Emergency Service Unit officers. They're armed with the tranquilizer guns and animal grasper poles. They're trying to stalk this critter. They see him, but he's so fast that he gets away. He runs initially south towards 73rd Street. Then he scampers all the way up to 91st Street, where he's spotted again. In fact, there's a couple pictures of him. People who've seen him taking pictures. They close the park for a while, Riverside Park, because they're afraid. They don't want people to get bitten. And so they're able to try to track this thing down, but they are not able to. The thing finally escapes about 120th Street on the west side.
It's amazing. I mean, they are like cockroaches. They're amazingly adaptable. People have been shooting them, poisoning them, trapping them. They've been trying as hard as they possibly can, and yet the coyote is thriving. So the real deal is that it may be a danger. Like if you put your dog in the backyard and a coyote's munching on. We have an expert. Can you please identify yourself, sir?
My name is Mickey Wright.
And Mickey, tell us where you are affiliated.
I'm with Critter Control. I'm in the greater Hudson Valley, just north of the city. We do come into the Bronx a little bit, but we mostly confine our business here.
All right, so let me ask you a couple of questions. Why don't why wouldn't a coyote killing program work? Are they protected?
They are protected in New York State. There is a legal hunting and I believe trapping season for them. As far as a nuisance coyote, a licensed nuisance a company like ours could deal with them out of season. Just a hunting or an elimination program just doesn't work because they're very smart. They're very capable of hiding and getting away, as I'm sure they've seen in the Bronx. And it's just not very efficient or effective.
So we're talking coyotes here on 77 WABC. If you've seen one, give us a call, 866-HERALDO. But let me ask you this. Why are we having so many coyotes right now?
Well, they've been expanding their range for years. You know, since the 1930s, they've been moving into New York, basically from in the northern part of New York and spreading south. And, you know, as the populations increase and as we protect more and more of our forests and public lands, they you know, basically create bridges between places they are and in urban areas and suburban areas. They're very adaptable. They're very good at hiding. And so they can come in to an area that
What's the real danger with the coyote?
Well, there's no danger if you don't approach it or if it's not sick, if it's sick. If it's sick, it could be a danger. You know, if it's growling and being aggressive, you certainly would want to get away from it.
Do they hunt dogs?
They are known to hunt small dogs. Large dogs.
And cats, you know, if they can catch them?
Excuse me?
Cats, if they can catch them?
Cats, they love cats from what I understand, yes.
So it seems like the that they are really a nuisance there. I mean, should they remain protected?
I'd rather not give my opinion on that. You know, I think New York State, in its wisdom, has decided to protect them, and so that's the way it is. As far as a nuisance, they you know, I mean, your animals shouldn't be running loose. Your domestic animals shouldn't be running loose.
What if you have a dog
anyway.
In the backyard? You've always kept the dog in the backyard, like this guy in Bergen. You can't keep him in the backyard anymore.
Yeah, you need to be really careful of that. There are devices you can put on top of fences that help keep coyotes out of backyards.
It's crazy. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, are we going to be flooded with coyotes? Is this going to be, like, there's all kinds of things that affect traffic in New York. They're going to have, like, coyote warnings on the George Washington Bridge. I mean, how the hell do they get everywhere anyway?
Well, they can swim, so they swim across the rivers. They could sneak across the bridges. But in everything, in nature, everything has a balance, so I don't think we're going to be overrun with coyotes. You know,
well, what's going to limit the coyote population? Aren't they, like, top dog, so to speak?
Well, they're not top dog to people, obviously, and I think there's a limited habitat available for them. You know, I'm sure they're eating out of garbage that's in the streets or in alleyways or whatever. You know, they could be in the parks like Van Cortlandt Park or Riverside Park.
And one's going to grab
park.
I'd hate to.
They may be eating the rats. Maybe this. Maybe
well, that'd be great. Yeah, if they were munching on the rats. You've been a real help, and I appreciate it. And good luck with your efforts. Thank you very
much.
All
right. Take care.
What are you thinking? Hey, Louie in New Jersey. What do you think, Louie?
Yes, Geraldo. I'm up in Sussex County, and you know, we've had a problem with them up there. And actually, we have a solution, and it's actually been working.
What is it?
Roadrunner.
I guess I had that one coming. I don't know what to do about coyotes. I know that, you know, if you've got a little dog, sometimes when I walk my little dogs, it's so annoying. I wouldn't mind if a coyote stopped. That's just me. I hope my wife wasn't listening to that.
Leave him out as bait.
But the whole thing and the bottom line is this. They're protected, at least on this side of the river, so you can't mess with the coyote. If the coyote, as the expert said, looks aggressive, that is growling at you, you can almost bet on the fact that it's got rabies, which means you don't go near it, just kind of back away, you know, make your noises or whatever you do. I don't know. I don't want to give advice here, knowing that, you know, I think the biggest danger to coyotes is probably traffic on the West Side Highway.
Yeah, well, I was amazed when he said they crossed the bridge.
Oh, I believe that. I totally believe that. They crossed the bridge. Why
they
not?
Follow the Metro North tracks. I know that's one way to get into town. They come from Westchester. But up in the Bronx, there was this woman that we talked to over the weekend who had a coyote outside of her house. And she thought it was a dog. And it was all wet, and she was initially going to go out there and dry the dog off because she thought she felt so bad for it. And then when she got closer, she said, "Oh, wait a minute.
Oh, yeah.
This
wait
is a coyote."
A
and she ran back into her house. You want to hear what she had to say?
Sure.
Her name is Sylvia.
I wasn't. I just felt bad because it was raining really hard. So I said, "Oh, that poor big dog, he's all wet. I nearly was going to go out and ask, you know, dry him."
Something's going to happen to some little human, and they'll say, "Oh my God!" Then they'll be hunting. Let's. We're not here to gin up hysteria against coyotes. You know, I've got wild turkey now in Edgewater.
You do.
We have all kind. We
right
have critters
in Edgewater.
Right,
really?
In Edgewater, and you know, my little colony is famous for the wild canaries we've got. But you know, it's now part of this walkway, Hudson River Walkway.
Oh yeah, right.
They walk right past my house. All these folks, and it's like a zoo out there. It's really like a nature habitat. Deer everywhere. Also, I mean, all kinds of deer. I wonder if the coyote chomps on the deer. You think?
I would think they hunt deer. Yeah, why not?
Well, are they big enough? Let me. Hi. What's on your mind here, coyote? Coyote country.
Hey, how you doing, Geraldo?
All right.
We've learned that, you know, coyotes, they are very adaptable. I'm an animal control officer in New Jersey. I've been
excellent.
With them for 10 years. I remember a few years ago, it was a bear problem not too long ago.
Right, I do remember that, right.
Everybody was concerned about the bears. Bears and coyotes is no different, you know, what they're scavengers. I mean, there is a difference in weight, of course. You know, you don't want to mess with a 300-pound bear versus a 25-pound coyote. But I know people are concerned about their dogs and their yard and everything like that. I've seen actually a red-tailed hawk up there. I'm sure you're aware of them. New Jersey's flooded with red-tailed hawks up in north, you know, North Bergen area. They have been known to take little dogs as well. So it's also, you know, raccoons.
I have to tell you the story. I've told the story, right, about the eagle. I saw the eagle about a week ago. But I saw the eagle the first time 2 years ago. And there's the eagle. And I said, look, there's the eagle. Look at the eagle. The eagle's fishing. Oh, look, the eagle caught a fish. It's an orange fish. Wait a second, that's my orange fish. He took an orange fish a big, right out of my koi pond. You know, I had to put these wires over the koi pond as a result of that. But, yeah, we love wildlife.
Yeah, you know, we're just going to learn have to live with them. You know, they were here first before we were.
All right, bro. I appreciate the call.
Thanks very much.
All right, I'll take a couple of more coyote calls on the other side of the quick intermission here. Don't go away. It's funny. I never thought that coyotes would lead the show. I also have to get to war with Iran, this situation developing in Baltimore and the rest of the country. Another unarmed black man falls to, apparently, to police violence. I'm glad at least the feds are on the case in Baltimore. They should have been on the case day one. That would be how Geraldo's Law would be impacting this area.
The headlines, the city's most pressing issues. Geraldo, today and every day, 77 WABC.
Thank you for tuning us in. It is amazing. No, I'm late, and the lines are hot with people eager to speak on the coyote influx, infestation, some say, or immigration, others say. We're getting calls from all over the country. In fact, we'll start with Colorado and Louie on the line. Lou, what's up? Tell me about coyotes.
Hey, the only way to really control this is to track the females, find their dens, and then when they're in a reproductive cycle with pups, you go get them all. You displace them or kill them.
So that sounds a little harsh, though. Do you see it as that kind of a vigorous approach there, killing little coyote pups? I don't know if our listeners would be into that, Louie.
Well, I know you guys don't have hundreds of head of cattle, you know, that are at risk.
Oh, that's a good question. We were wondering, what about, can a coyote take out a horse, say, or a cow or a deer?
No, not really. They're more pesky.
So they're more garbage types.
Yeah, a little bit.
And so do you advocate the eradication of coyote?
Not eradication.
Just population control.
Yeah, and the only way to do it is get the pups when they're little. And you don't have to kill them. You can displace them in New Jersey,
Yeah, poor New Jersey.
The most populated state in the country, yeah.
Yeah. Rich in White Plains, what are you thinking about, Rich and coyotes?
I'm thinking about one of your callers that just said the coyote was here first. Well, you know, the American Indian was here first, too, and they were human beings, okay? I mean, that is the most ignorant statement, and it's repeated over and over and over again. It's ridiculous.
So are you saying we should lay off the coyote?
Geraldo, I want everybody who thinks it's harsh to kill the coyote. Every time they bite into a hamburger, okay, what the hell do they think they're eating, okay? You know, animals are killed every day. But when it comes to, and cops run around, what are they doing? It's like they're chasing these coyotes. They don't hesitate to shoot a person, but they can't shoot a coyote.
Okay. Harsh, but maybe true.
Makes a good point.
Fair Lawn, New Jersey. Justin. Hey, Justin. Thanks for calling 866-Geraldo. What's up?
Yeah. Hi, Geraldo. Great show as always.
Thanks.
I just wanted to make an observation.
Sure.
I spotted them when mountain biking up in Sussex County, and I live in Fair Lawn right by Saddle River County Park, and they're adaptable here, too. We've been seeing them in the area. One thing I wanted to mention real quickly is they're very wily. What I mean by that, the coyote, we had a situation when I was teaching near Saddle River where the coyote would come in and befriend a small dog, and the dog would follow the coyote into the woods, and the coyote pack would attack it.
Ah, that's kind of thank you, Justin. A lure to go and kidnap the poor coyote. Come on, play with me, pup.
Huh.
And he goes and takes it to his uncles and his aunties. I wonder how many of them are in the pack. I mean, are they like wolves?
I don't know.
No, the den is where they live. Isn't the den where they live?
Yeah, you know, in fact, they found a den right outside this public school in Norwood over the weekend.
That way in Jersey, in Bergen County.
Yeah, in Bergen County. So I don't know what they do with them once they find them. If they kill the ones, the pups that are in there, I have no idea.
I don't know. In the Bronx, David. What's up, David?
Is this Geraldo?
Yes, it is, sir. You're on.
Oh, sí, yo soy el coyote del Bronx.
Ah, okay, coyote Bronx. Okay, man.
I understand. I heard in the news that they're all coming. A lot of them are in the Bronx. They have homes. And is that true?
You're from the Bronx. You tell us.
Well, that's what I heard on
they've always been in Van Cortlandt
News.
Van Cortlandt Park.
Yeah,
abuts Westchester. Right. You know, it's huge. It's wild. I don't mind even coyotes in Van Cortlandt Park. Central Park's getting a little hinky.
Bronx is, you know, real estate's less expensive there. So.
all right, I'll get to your calls. They are fun, but also instructive. And we'll talk about the big topics coming up.
Geraldo, the truth behind the story for New York. Live, local, on it. 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
Born a poor young country boy, Mother Nature's son. All day long I'm sitting, singing songs for everyone. Sit beside a mountain stream, watch her waters rise, listen to the pretty sound of music as she flies.
John Denver, proud to say he was a friend of mine. Humble guy, so sincere, so straight shooting. The biggest star in the world, 1973, he came to Madison Square Garden. He did a benefit concert for the developmentally disabled for me. Following the year before that, we had John Lennon, that Stevie Wonder, that amazing cast. John Denver sold just as many tickets. It's huge. He was huge that year. And tragically, he died in that stupid flying and experimental aircraft.
Yeah, yeah.
John Denver, Earth Day. That's what we're playing. It's the 45th Earth Day. A lot of people taking action to protect the planet. We're talking about coyotes. They're going to get to your calls about coyotes momentarily. So you have tree planting projects going on. You've got, thousands of hikers are getting together to clean up the Great Wall of China. Yeah, the President of the United States is visiting the Everglades today in Florida to demand action on climate change. Do you have a strong climate change thing going on in you?
You mean, do I believe in climate change?
Yeah.
I think I do.
Such a hesitation. Such a hesitation.
Because it's become so politically charged that I. But yeah,
it's like a right wing, left wing thing.
It is.
It's so
it really
sad.
Is.
So stupid.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're talking coyotes for a bit, and then we've got to get serious. I never thought that so many people would be interested in this phenomenon. Evidently, we have we have this influx of coyotes, and they are being spotted everywhere from Riverdale to Riverside to Long Island City to the West Village, East Village, all throughout Bergen County. The Bronx, no thongs. There's coyotes there getting calls from as far away as Colorado now about this this new influx. So let's talk about it just a bit more. Here's Bob in Chester. What's up, Bob?
Yeah, I had a coyote kill a deer right outside my kitchen window.
Did you see it happen, or did you just hear about it?
No, I didn't. But But the police officer that came by, he identified it from some scat in the backyard.
And what did the deer look like?
He I saw it the first thing in the morning. It had to be a night kill. And he was no more than 10 feet outside my Christmas window, the carcass.
So what are you thinking about coyotes now, buddy?
Well, what do I think about them? I've lived out in Chester for 35 years, and only in the last couple of years I've seen three bear come across my property. And I saw the coyote not too long ago lobing down my driveway. The driveway's about a quarter of a mile long.
So what have you changed as a result of all this wildlife suddenly coming so intimately to your house?
What's changed is that I now take an air horn from my sailboat that I keep down.
Great idea. An air horn's a great idea. Those can, yeah. They really, because yeah. That sound is and so unpleasant. I could see that scaring away. Certainly the coyote, probably the bear as well. But, Bob, thanks. I appreciate the call. In Pensacola, is this Florida? Steve, where are you calling from?
Pensacola Beach.
Oh, looking wow. At- lucky you. So what's it like there right now?
Well, you know, it's been 5 years since the oil spill, speaking of Earth Day, and we have the most beautiful beaches, greatest seafood, and it's just resiliency after 5 years of what devastated us between Orange Beach, Gulf Shores, and Pensacola, and, of course, throughout the Gulf Coast. It's just amazing, the comeback that we've made, record-setting tourism. I'm looking at the greenest, most beautiful water that you've ever seen.
I know it well. What do you think about spring break? Is spring break over the top?
Well, that's a little further over to Panama City. It's, you know, obviously, you know, if they enforced the laws that were on the books, I think you wouldn't have some of the problems they have. Kids are going to go party anywhere. But, you know, when you get over to Pensacola, Orange Beach, and Gulf Shores, it's more of a, family-friendly
gotcha. So what, you ever seen a coyote around there?
No, but I was telling your call screener, I said, you know, New York's coyote problem seems to be what is going to descend upon New Hampshire and Iowa with the Republican candidates in the next few months.
So you don't like what you see in that pack?
Well, yeah, there's some great folks up there. Obviously, Marco Rubio is going to be, I think, really somebody that gains a lot of traction. He's from Florida, obviously, and Scott Walker. I think there's a lot of great candidates in the Republican field, and I just know that, you know, I worked up in New Hampshire in 88 as a Republican operative, and I just know what happens at that time of year when they come up there. It's it is like a pack of coyotes looking for a deer or a small dog.
All right. I like the analogy, and I like your very responsible reporting on the BP spill aftermath. Our buddy in Rikers, Ray's on the line. What's up, man?
Hey, buddy, how are you? How are you holding up?
You can't have coyotes in Rikers. They can't swim those currents, can they?
No, actually, I got I live upstate. I got 5 acres, and I got a cougar story, man.
No way.
Dude, listen, I was attacked by a cougar, and now we're dating. It's awesome. We're going like 2 months.
Ah! He got us. In Ronkonkoma, Tom, what do you say, Tom?
Yeah, how you doing?
You know, Lake Ronkonkoma was the first place I ever camped out, and Boy Scout camp. My dad took me for the jamboree, and I could hardly sleep. I was so afraid a vampire was going to bite. I just seen one of those vampire movies. So what's up, Tom? What's going on in Lake Ronkonkoma?
Yeah, when you played your opening music, you played The Howling.
Right.
It woke up my Italian greyhounds.
Did it really?
Yeah, now they're playing. Now they think they're going out to hunt. I don't know.
Okay, Tom, great. Thank you. It's been entertaining. Here is Saul in Brooklyn. What's up?
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Good. My daughter's Saul. You're Saul.
I'm Saul, and you, S-A-U.
Well, she's named sort of after her deceased grandfather, Saul. So, namesake to my daughter. So what's up? What's in your mind anyway, buddy?
And I think people will start getting used to it, just like me in Brooklyn got used to seeing raccoons every night.
You know, it could be. I got raccoons all over the place also. I mean, they're gigantic. And they're cheeky, too.
Possums messing with each other every single night in Brooklyn. And, you know, people got used to it. I see it every second night. I never call the cops or anything like that.
All right, I don't think raccoons attack, but unless they're rabid. But, Saul, thanks for the call. I have raccoons messing with my garbage in Edgewater all the time.
I have skunk now.
Big. You have skunk?
Yeah, in Jersey City, which seems like an odd place.
It
but also,
totally
I'll see them in the
place.
Trash cans, too.
All right, we're going to get a report from Tamika, you know, Mallory on the march. What's that? Okay, take the break now. We're going to talk about the protest against these police killings, what should be done about it. We've got a lot going on today.
Live, local, on it, 866 Geraldo, where New York comes to talk, 77 WABC.
Hundreds of protesters filling the streets of Baltimore, Maryland, yesterday. Today, they're back there today protesting the latest outrageous example of the apparent excessive use of force by cops and an unarmed black guy. In this case, a 25-year-old fella, Freddie Gray, arrested. No one really knows the circumstances. It's very shaky why he was arrested. When he was arrested, though, he seemed in perfect health, only to be delivered to an ambulance by the cops a half hour after he was arrested. He had a broken larynx, a severed spine, and now he's dead. Tamika Mallory has been protesting. She's been marching. She and her group have been marching from New York. They went all the way down the turnpike. They were in Philadelphia. They were in Baltimore for the big demonstration yesterday. Today they're in Washington, D.C. Tamika, welcome. Tell us, first of all, about the latest in the Freddie Gray case.
Well, thank you very much. There's been several developments in the Freddie Gray case, including the fact that six members of the police department there have been suspended. And so that is certainly giving us the hope that there is a real investigation going on into what happened to Freddie Gray. His family has been leading the demonstrations along with other groups on the ground there. And as you said, people are really turning out to the streets to ensure that this is not an issue that's swept under the rug.
So you have in Baltimore different from most other jurisdictions, you have a black mayor and a black police commissioner. So is that why you think that there'll be transparency and a righteous investigation here, Tamika?
Well, I would love to be able to say that, but we've seen in other cities that, you know, you can have the same makeup, racial makeup, and not see justice happen. So what we want to see is that the system works no matter who the person is that is in charge. Of course, I would like to say that because there's a black, they are black officials, that they have some sense of understanding of the injustice that's happening across this country. But what is important here is fairness and equality, and that the justice for all people.
Well, I'm glad that the Justice Department is on the case. I would have had them in there a lot sooner to have FBI agents and others freeze the scene, see what happened with these cops behind closed doors. But your March for Justice is in D.C. Who are you meeting with? And what do you hope to accomplish?
When you talk about who we're meeting with today and of Freddie Gray, one of the congressional members that we're meeting is Congressman Ruppersberger, who's out of Maryland, and he is the one who's putting public pressure in the Freddie Gray case to get transparency. And so we're very thankful to him. We'll be seeing him around 1:30 today. I'm actually standing outside of the office of Congressman Hank Johnson, where we're meeting with him in reference to a bill that he has introduced, which is the Stop Militarizing Law Enforcement Act. And my group in the Justice League NYC is inside meeting with him now. We'll be moving forward to Hakeem Jeffries' office. We meet later today with Congressman Lacey Clay, also Corrine Brown, and a host of others.
So you were with my pal, the actor Danny Glover, last night. Is that right?
Yes, we were. Danny Glover came out and supported our rally. It was the last leg of the march, and he was there, as well as someone that everybody loves, which is the new star of Empire, Jussie Smollett.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, but the mayor Burke in is it Burke in Baltimore? The lovely, smart lady there. She's pretty good reputation.
Yeah.
You seem so skeptical, even though she's African American.
No, I won't say that. I mean, she and I are linked sisters and friends, and so I'm very supportive of all. But this is not really about any one individual person. What happened to Freddie Gray is happening all over this country, and we can't get caught up into personal relationships. We've got to move mountains, which means we've got to move legislation on many levels, and that's what we're doing here on Washington, D.C.
Tamika Mallory, congratulations on all your efforts. We hold you in the highest regard, and I appreciate you coming on.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
All right, we'll keep it up. You know, sometimes you got to raise hell. I'm opposed to traffic jams. I'm opposed to inconveniencing innocent people. But I am totally in favor of her generation getting off the couch and making their lives mean something.
He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
There's been a load of compromising on the road to my horizon. But I'm going to be where the light is shining on me. Like a rhinestone cowboy.
Glenn Campbell, happy birthday, mate. 79 years old. I guess he's got the Alzheimer's.
Yeah, he did that last concert tour sort of as a goodbye concert tour. It was apparently, you know, fantastic. That's what everybody said who went and saw him.
Yeah, I saw him with, I guess, his daughter.
Yeah.
And she's helping him out, and he gets there, and he performs. I don't know, let him keep singing then. Just keep him busy, whatever it is. Okay, I'm going to get to the big topic I wanted to talk about today. That documentary following him around, Academy Award winner. Jay's on the line. I appreciate your patience from the last half hour. What's on your mind there, buddy?
Hey, how are we all doing, Gnome? Did you notice the other day that video when that white guy was the murder suspect running towards the cop? The cop did everything besides shoot him?
Right, I saw that.
You know, so how do we not expect all cops to behave the same way? Yet we have people shooting people in the back, choking people out. And, you know, and if the police...
But didn't you... What would you have done if you were that cop? Would you have held fire or would you have shot that guy?
If the guy was running at me like that, I might have shot him in a leg.
I might have shot him. I might have shot him, too.
You know, but...
He was certainly looking for suicide by cop. That's what he was looking for.
But, you know, at the same time, it's like other police, people somehow justify, you know, cops, even if they had a police car, they could get in their car and, like, retreat. This guy was on foot, and he somehow kept his composure when the guy was charging at him like a bull.
Well, you know, I agree, and the cops should really be lauded. There's no doubt about that, but it is a very difficult situation when you're in those shoes and they're coming at you. That's what I always say about war correspondents too. When you judge people, you got to put yourself in their shoes. I mean, what a cop is thinking about. That person was clearly nuts, but the cop was remarkable in his restraint. Jay, I appreciate your call. All right, let me get to before I do, one other thing. Because it is Earth Day, do you know that people are... What do you pay for gas now?
I think it's like $2.25 a gallon.
Because it's so cheap. And what was the highest you ever paid?
I think it got close to $4.
It was close to $4. And that's when all of the SUVs started disappearing and all the hybrid and the electric vehicles began surging. But I was in a scene. I have a very nice garage. You know, I like the guys. They really take care of everything. They've got the plugs for the electric cars here at my apartment in New York. And a guy came in one morning, he had just come in from Connecticut, desperate for a plug to plug in his car. He had to get home. It was raining out. That day it was raining, maybe it was Monday. And there were no plugs available because the tenants, so the people, you know, they prearrange and they charge their cars overnight. So that's the great fear with the electric car. And with gas so cheap, you have 22%. Of people who traded in their vehicles, their hybrid and electric vehicles, bought a SUV. 22%. And it was 18.8% the year before. So people are dumping the electric cars. It's, you know, kind of sad on Earth Day because gas is so cheap that now people are getting back to the gas guzzlers. And I find that, that ironic and unfortunate. We discovered so much oil with all the fracking and everything else, all these other things that we're doing. We're now the number one gas producer and the prices are, you know, so low. You can just fill up your car for fun. One more here and there and move on to the topic. Here's Jonah. What's up, Jonah?
Yeah, hi, Geraldo. I wanted to just tell you that, you know, in the Bible, it says you're not allowed to kill nobody.
Right.
But still, you know, the Jewish tradition is that if someone's trying to kill you, you're allowed to kill them first.
Right. Eye for an eye.
But that is only if you can't can't shoot him in the leg or shoot him in the arm or shoot him in a way that's, you know, why don't the police train the cadets to shoot the guy in the leg? Well, they can't.
They don't do that. Never, ever. You never see that. That only happens in television. I've been around more guns and shooting and dead people, I think, than almost anybody. Certainly anybody in the celebrity business. And never, ever, ever have I ever seen a law enforcement, drug enforcement, military person try to wing someone or shoot the weapon out of their hands. They always aim for the biggest part of the body. Sometimes they hit someone in the head by mistake, or in the upper limbs or the thighs. What they're aiming for is the belly and the heart. Inevitably, 100% of the time, that's they shoot to kill. Otherwise, why are you shooting? Otherwise, you wouldn't. All right, now let's get to this topic. I've got to get to it because I think that we're making a huge strategic error again in the Middle East with sending these aircraft carriers there to monitor the Iranians. First, here's the president of the United States.
Right now, their ships are in international waters. What we've said to them is that if there are weapons delivered to factions within Yemen that could threaten navigation, that's a problem. And we're not sending them obscure messages. We send them very direct messages about it.
All right, a very direct message. It's stunning. It's gotten so little attention. But right there, you had the president of the United States talking about mustering, a significant portion of our fleet there in the Persian Gulf and in the Red Sea, in that area off the coast of Yemen, headed by the huge, powerful aircraft carrier, the Theodore Roosevelt. And what they're doing is shadowing this fleet of Iranian cargo vessels, supply ships they look like. But what are they filled with? You think they're bringing, hummus from Iran to Yemen? Probably not. They're probably bringing ammunition and weapons to the Shiite fighters there. Shiite fighters, the Houthis, the Shiites. Just remember their religion, Shiite, Iran, Shiite. These factional fighters, Shiite. So Iran, the Shiite country, is taking these cargo vessels and sending them from Iran over the bottom of the Arabian Peninsula past Oman to Yemen. Now, the United States has this fighting fleet there off Yemen. So you got to have a situation. What happens when these Iranians say, okay, now it's time to unload this cargo. And the Americans say, no interfering with the war going on in Yemen, particularly not when our Saudi Sunni allies are bombing the hell out of the Shiites in Yemen. I think it is a mess. I think that it was a mistake to move the aircraft carrier Teddy Roosevelt off its station in the Persian Gulf. You know what it was doing before it got, it wasn't, they just weren't loitering around there. The aircraft carrier Teddy Roosevelt was the base for airstrikes against ISIS. Remember ISIS? ISIS, the real enemy of America. ISIS, the real enemy of Israel, the Suez Canal, our interests in the Middle East, in the Mediterranean. ISIS. ISIS the head cutters. ISIS the people burners. ISIS the savages who have been raping and pillaging and kidnapping and destroying relics. ISIS. The enemy. ISIS. The Sunni. ISIS. What are we doing fighting Iran, the Shiites? Another mistake. Why are we taking the Teddy Roosevelt away from this crucial job of bombing ISIS? I just think that the way the president got led by the nose to fight in Libya and get rid of Gaddafi, remember that one? I think the same thing is happening now. He's being led by the Saudis to take his eye off of ISIS. And now we have a standoff with Iran. What I suggest is the Iranians better allow somebody to inspect those cargo ships and what they contain and sort the bombs and the bullets and the AK-47s and the artillery from the food and medical supplies and all the rest, which would be legit. We need this standoff right now. in the Arabian Sea like we need a hole in the head. We'll talk about it a bit. I'll take your calls on what we should do. And then we have a very interesting segment at the bottom of the hour. We're going to shift gears completely and talk about how you can get cheap, easy, safe, and effective plastic surgery done on your lunch hour. I'm sure a lot of you old Altacacas are interested in that one. And then we got to do Rangers and Islanders. So in a city frustrated by the futility of our professional sports, we've got to give credit where credit is due, and credit is due to our hockey teams, at least two of the three. 17 minutes after 11 o'clock, I am delighted that you all are here. It is the 22nd day of April. I forgot yesterday was the anniversary of opening Al Capone's vaults.
Oh, what?
I forgot to mark
That's
it.
That's too bad. I could have had a good time making fun of you.
We'll be right back.
Live and local, the Tri-State's most important issues with Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
Get to your calls momentarily. Appreciate them at 866-GERALDO. Thank you for calling 77 WABC. You say Sandra Bullock is the world's most beautiful woman. Do you agree?
Well, you mean after my wife, of course.
Don't give me a politically correct. I think
I'm just hoping to get some action after work.
Yeah, so good luck to you. Good luck, Jewish woman. Good luck. I think a woman, the world's most beautiful woman, has to be more voluptuous.
Yeah, she's a little too skinny.
Kate Upton.
Yeah, oh, I'm there with Kate Upton. I'm right there with you.
She's got that new game thing. She fronts.
Who cares what it is?
Yeah, right. We're talking very serious stuff here. The president has sent the fleet to intercept the Iranians, who sent their own fleet of cargo ships to Yemen from Iran. So are they going to, you know, is this going to be some big standoff here? Or are we going to have some naval conflict? I think it's unnecessary. I think we should talk with the Iranians. I do not perceive them to be the enormous threat. I think the Saudis are the biggest evildoers. If you check what's going on, they're the ones that are funding these madrasas. They're the ones that are giving the money to all these Sunni Muslim extremist groups that are going out and becoming metastasizing into ISIS and Al-Qaeda and Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula and so forth. I hate that the fleet is not bombing ISIS, that instead we're now eyeballing Iran. But what do you think, Howard in Ocean Grove? You're first up. What's up, man?
Yeah, hi, Geraldo. I've been listening to your show for years, and I used to, I'm 63 right now, and I watched you every time you were on TV, and I knew about it for most of my life. It always felt like you were a voice for reason, and generally agreed with most of your stuff. But in the last year or so, I've really been disillusioned with how quickly you come to the president's defense. See what this whole thing happened, and it's all tied together. It's not just ISIS. It's not just Iran. It's just it's his view that America shouldn't be doing anything, shouldn't be involved, let them solve their own problems. But it's going to spill over to us, and he's wrecked our country.
You know, I just don't see it. I understand that that's the line right now, that the, who is it? Is it Marco Rubio or Ted Cruz? One of them going after the president as being against the age old concept of American exceptionalism, that we have to be different than the world, that we have to lead the world. And I heard, what's his name? The bald headed shrink on my network.
Dr. Phil? No. On your network. I can see him. I don't know.
The guy from Boston. I heard him say that the reason kids are turning to drugs is because the president has such a negative view about American exceptionalism. I just, come on. I mean, where does that come from? That the president doesn't think America is exceptional? I think these attacks on the president, Keith Ablo. Sorry. Thank you, Chris. But Dr. Keith, he's become so political with he's a shrink, and everything becomes Obama's fault. You know, Obama has plenty to answer for, particularly in the Mideast, in the Arab world, in the Islamic world. I think his speech in Cairo was way arrogant. It was too early for him to really understand or appreciate the forces that he let loose. Now we're going to have this anarchy. Now we're going to have to deal with all of these countries in flux. Egypt kind of sorted theirs out. They managed to reinstitute the old military-aligned right-wing government. I got no problems with that at all. I wish that that was the same model that could be applied in all of these countries that are now coming apart at the seams. A country like Yemen. I mean, Yemen, you can't fight Yemen. What's Yemen going to do? You have half of it is this kind of Shiite. The other kind is a couple of other factions of the Sunni faith, and they're all fighting each other. That fight's going to last and has lasted since the 7th century. And for us to get engaged in it, us to get involved in it, you know, I don't see it. I think Yemen, of all of these places, has to be a negotiated settlement or there'll be no end to that fighting. In New York, John, what's up, buddy?
Yes, good morning, Geraldo. You know, I have to say that while I believe that ISIS is a horrendous threat and we should bomb the hell out of them, I remember you complaining in the past about comparing them with the Nazis. But I think that Iran has the potential.
I don't like comparing anything to the Nazis because the Nazis were special.
Well, but I thought that your objection had to do with their ability to be
Has to do with the organized military industrial complex that they put to work to eliminate a race of people. You know, I think that that is unique in history. So I just don't like to use Nazi analogies.
Well,
ISIS is plenty bad, brother. Don't get me wrong. ISIS, I hate in a way that it gives me the creeps the way Osama bin Laden used to give me the creeps after 9/11. ISIS,
I
see them as an existential threat. I do.
But, Geraldo, I can't complain about the president moving an aircraft carrier to try to intercept arms from Iran to Yemen, because that could create a real new geopolitical problem. I don't know why we can't have aircraft carriers in both places.
That's
got
the way to do it.
Of them, don't we?
Now you're talking. Now you're talking, John. Let's get another aircraft carrier. And the problem is the president is ambivalent about the application of American power. Send another damn aircraft carrier. Send one to stop those migrants from crossing and killing themselves.
New York's biggest issues right now. This is Geraldo, 77 WABC.
Just it's after 11 o'clock.
Look at that fabulous face of yours. I knew first look I took at it. This was the face that the world adores. Look at those eyes, as wise and as deep as the sea. Look at that nose.
Ah, the grease paint, the smell of the crowd, Anthony Newley. Look at that face. I was on Fox and Friends this morning with Erica, my beautiful wife, and Saul was with us, our 9-year-old. They're having people, correspondents and so forth, bring their families in to cook up their favorite recipes. Ours was rice and beans. I could eat rice and beans for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I love it. We always have it in Puerto Rico, and we always have it at virtually every meal. And when you could figure in the leftovers, it is every meal. But the segment before us, on Fox and Friends. And I posted our recipe, our family recipe that my cousin Edna sent yesterday. I posted it on Geraldo.com, so you can check that out if you're interested in real rice and beans, the kind come with the kidney beans. Kidney beans, you know, everyone's got their own color. The Cubans like the black beans. Mexicans like the brown beans. Puerto Rican and Dominican mostly like the kidney beans, the red beans. But anyway, the segment before was how people were getting plastic surgery done on their lunch hour. In other words, they have 45 minutes. They go out, they can get Botox, get this, that, or the other thing. So plastic surgery, which was once the province of only the wealthy, is now becoming more popular, more populist. You go in the same way you want a massage. You go in and you get this laser treatment or one thing or the other. It's very, very fascinating to watch how common it's become and how, you know, people are talking about it openly. And I live on the Upper East Side, which probably has more dermatologists and more plastic surgeons and more plastic surgeon
that's true.
You know, recipients than any other square couple of miles on earth. A man who has been known for decades there, our buddy Stephen Victor, joins us right now. A man has a wonderful plastic surgery office and a big business. What is it? Lux, Dr. Victor, welcome. What's the new one called?
Regen Medical.
Regen Medical, and you're on 57th Street and Park Avenue. So what is it about, is plastic surgery now all the rage?
Well, plastic surgery has been the rage, I think, with the new technology and the new techniques, and primarily no downtime. You can, as you said, you can come in lunchtime, you can get a Botox shot, you can get a laser facial, you can get some filler, and you can go back to work, and no one's going to even know you had it done. You're just going to look better.
Fresher. So how much does that cost, what you just described?
Anywhere from $250 to maybe about $1,500, depending on what you want to do and how much time you have. But it's quick and easy, and the beauty of it is hardly any downtime. You can just literally go back to work and you just look better.
Dr. Stephen Victor, prominent dermatologist, plastic surgeon, the expert manipulator of the way we look. What do you think about the whole Bruce Jenner thing? Are you getting a lot of transsexuals now, transgender folks?
You know, Bruce is interesting. We have several. I don't say a lot. I don't think it's a common thing. But it's interesting watching his transformation with the hormones and the lips and the surgery. And he had his Adam's apple shaved. At the end of the day, he's going to look like a really pretty girl. And I guess that's what he wants to be. But you got to take hormones. You got to keep it up. It's not like you just poof your guy to the girl. You got to keep up the therapy. You got to keep up the injection. So it's work.
So you have to do that constantly. Otherwise, you go back to your natural state.
Well, I think you go back to being an ugly girl as opposed to a pretty girl.
I see. So what do they do with their penises? Just asking.
You know, there's pre-op and there's post-op transsexuals. Some of the guys have penises and some of the guys literally go through the big surgery and everything is removed. It's kind of dramatic, but psychologically, it works for them.
And do they, like, keep the old dick in the jar? What do they do?
I don't really, you know what? I've never asked what they do.
You never?
Can you sell it on the black market?
Yeah. It depends on how you're hung there.
Honestly, the surgeon does dispose of it in a medical fashion, but it is a funny kind of thought.
So the pulse section of the New York Post today has this whole thing on Zap 2. It's a laser facial treatment. And they say, despite hazy science and a waiver that mentions coroners, funeral directors, and organ donation, they've got this laser treatment. What is this for real?
Oh, it's for real. I mean, laser facials, I started doing them back in 1986 with the lasers. The consent they're using is a surgical consent, which honestly is probably not necessary for a laser facial, but any surgical consent, which the patient never reads, talks about a possibility of death. But with the laser, there really is none of that at all. But this is a
standard. Does it work?
Form. The answer is yeah. It's like going for a facial or a light chemical peel. You can go in at lunchtime, as you said, get the laser done, go back to work looking more radiant. And if you keep it up, it just keeps your skin in better quality. It helps reduce fine lines, brown spots. It's a good thing to do.
Now, you and I, we're not going to talk about it unless and until there are results, but we did a stem cell treatment on my dead foot. My foot died because of botched back surgery at the hospital for special surgery, but that was 5 years ago, and I tried everything to get the foot regenerated. A year ago, you put some of the stem cells, my own stem cells, in my foot. Didn't work. Now you put it in my back. Why?
Well, what we realized over a period of time with your kind of problem, the foot, you know, the foot is dead, so we thought treat the foot, but now we realize it's a sciatic nerve, all the inflammation and all the scar tissue in that lower back area that's pressing on the sciatic nerve. So if we can reduce that inflammation, that scar tissue, we're going to wake up your foot, Geraldo.
So how come you didn't use some of that stem cell stuff to, like, take the wrinkles out of my face?
Well, because you're so handsome and beautiful, you didn't need it.
So when you do plastic surgery on people, and then you see them in a restaurant, do they say, hi, doc, or do they pretend they don't know you?
You know, 90% of the time it's like they don't want to know you. They don't want to admit to it. I don't know why, but it's funny because we do the stem cell therapy for the professional athletes for, you know, bad injuries, and they don't want to talk about it. People just want to be private.
So what do you think? My last question, Stephen Victor, I got to go. What are these kids now, they're mimicking one of the Kardashians, and they're using, like, whiskey cups to make a vacuum, and then they put them over their lips to get fat lips. That's the way they do it. I mean,
yeah,
what's that?
That lasts for a couple of hours. You know, that's kind of funny.
Is it dangerous?
No, it's not dangerous, but it's silly. But if you really want big lips, there's materials we inject that stay in 3 or 4 months, and there's materials we can do that could be perfect.
So what's the biggest breast you ever put in?
I don't do breasts, thank goodness.
You see, these doctors do vacation breasts now. You see
they
that?
Do? Just
yeah.
Like rent a breast?
Yeah.
Dr. Yeah. Stephen Victor, I got to let you go. I got sports coming up. Dr. Stephen Victor, great guy, great all-around guy, trying to get me hopping again, get me back to the ballet.
The sound of the city, Geraldo, where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC.
6 minutes to high noon. On Saturday, Bill O'Reilly and I are going to the stadium Steinbrenner's box to watch the Mets and Yankees. The Yankees are kind of mediocre, but they're hanging in there. But the Mets, unbelievable. Guns Gunselman joins us.
Yes, sir.
So what's with those Mets?
It comes down to the fact that pitching, which is what everyone was talking about, they could hold it, and they are holding it strong. They're going for 10 wins in a row tonight, the Mets are.
How rare is that?
This would be the first time since 2008 if they can pull it off tonight. But they're also the more exciting team to watch right now. For the Yankees, the only thing that they have right now is A-Rod, and that's only if you, hate him. You want to see him do bad, and so far he's got 4 home runs, 11 ribbies this season. So the Mets are the more exciting team. They're not New York's baseball team yet, but they're definitely on the path there.
Do you know anything about the crowds they are attracting at Citi Field?
But yeah, Mets, anytime Harvey's pitched, it's been sold out twice already for him. Opening day was sold out. They're more exciting to watch. The Yankees only got 35,000 for the opening night against the Red Sox on a Friday night, which never would have happened a couple of years ago.
So now, I always thought that there were 2 Yankee fans for every Met fan. Is that still?
I think it is the case, but if you're a younger person right now and you don't know about if you're a kid out there and you don't know about the Yankees and, you know,
the storied past, and
everything,
Lou Gehrig and all that.
You like the Mets. Derek, you love Jeter. Harvey. You like David Wright. That's the team if you're a young kid right now.
They seem like nice guys, Matt Harvey and David Wright.
I would love to party with Matt Harvey. Let me just say that.
I love CC Sabathia. He's a great person, very generous man, and he had a tough time in Detroit losing 2-1. That was too bad. But you know, all the excitement's about hockey. I mean, in this building, the Rangers now, they lead the Penguins.
Right, they lead the Penguins 2-1. They play the Pittsburgh Penguins tonight. They're trying to make it 3-1. 7 p.m. puck drops tonight. If they win tonight, they come home on Friday to the Garden downstairs, can win the whole thing and move on to the next round. And the other team, of course, the Islanders, so you have 2 teams in it right now. They're tied 2-2. They lost in overtime last night
to
the Capitals.
Oh, I didn't know how that turned out.
Yeah, it was wild. It was an unbelievable game. But the thing is, we want the Islanders and the Rangers to both win, because then they play each other, and that would be wild.
That's never happened.
That's probably happened back in the day, but not definitely.
So,
not
what's
recently.
The difference between the Islanders fans and the Rangers fans?
Islanders fans have had a team that's been awful since I've been born. They haven't been.
No, they had it. Well, maybe since you've been
in
born.
The 80s. I
remember the 80s. They won like 3-4 in a row.
79, 80, 81, 82. They won 4 in a row. That was way before I was born. So,
but that's a crappy place, Nassau Coliseum. I think that one. It's going to be like when the Nets came from Jersey to Brooklyn. They're going to get a whole new cachet. Yeah. Oh, quickly, the Nets, they hanging in against the Hawks? What's
up? Yeah, tonight's game 2. So if you love sports, New York City's the place to be. They lost 7 points game 1 of the Hawks. They'll try and beat them tonight in Atlanta.
So 99-92.
Yeah.
That was in the Atlanta.
That was in Atlanta tonight.
Against the best team in basketball.
Yes. So they were able to hold in there, but still it's going to be rough.
Guns, Gunselman, Noam Layden, Geraldo Rivera. Woo! See ya.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids, some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.